Good morning. Glad for the presence of everybody this morning. You know, we've had a good weekend. We had a camping trip, had some good fellowship, spent some time together. You know, at that camping trip, I learned a couple of things. First thing is my mind, at 20 years old, says you can get out there and play football and you'll be fine the next day. My body says, oh, no, you can't. I'm a little sore this morning, so I apologize if I'm moving around a little stiffly. And second to that, pay attention to the first two pages of every songbook. If you want to win Songbook Jeopardy, just pay attention to the first two pages. We had a great time together, and you know, when you spend time together, you learn about each other. You learn people who want to spend time together. You learn about each other. You learn what a great fellowship is provided by the church. And it's an enjoyable time to spend together. It also shows you the kind of people you want in your life so that you can know how to live intentionally, how to live a life that is going to get you somewhere as far as God is concerned. You spend time with people in the church, you spend time with people who are going after the same goals as you are as a Christian is concerned, and you find that you can have an arm to lean on. You have people to help you through that process of being a Christian and living the life that you should live. You know, these thoughts that I'm bringing forth this morning to you are things that I've been thinking about for quite a while. My son, I've got a son, one son, who is 7 years old. I've got a new one who is a newborn, 3 months-ish. I'm sleep deprived, so I'm not exactly sure, somewhere in that range. But the 7-year-old, the more I think about the way I live my life as a parent, the more terrified I get, realizing that everything that I do, he sees. Everything that I say, he hears. Even the things I think, he figures them out. At 7 years old, he knows me as a person, as his dad. And it terrifies me to know that the way I live, if I don't live intentionally, his life will be framed by that decision. The way I live my life, intentionally or not, will show forth into my children. And it's a terrifying thought to think about, considering the world that we live in, and it's, to be very frank, full of people who live unintentionally and just go through life, just exist. That's what life is about, is to YOLO, have fun. You only live once. Let's just have fun. Let's not have any sort of intention at what we do. Let's just do. That's terrifying to think that my son is going to be living in that world. And how can I, as a Christian parent, be okay with living unintentionally and trying to direct his life? You know, there's a story, and you see Exodus 32, verse 26, listed as a verse that I want to use as my text. Sorry, go back. Not ready for that yet. That verse in Exodus chapter 32 is following something that happened with the children of Israel. You know, a lot of times with my sermons, I like to give a story because I just feel like it works better for me in my mind to be able to present some ideas. The story we're talking about is the children of Israel, after they have come to Mount Sinai, they've exited Egypt, and they're coming up to Mount Sinai, which is where God gives the old law. And when he gives this old law, Moses, who is the leader of the children of Israel at this time, he goes up into Mount Sinai, and he's there for 40 days and 40 nights. The children of Israel are all camped around the Mount Sinai, but they don't actually get to go up into the mount. Only Moses is allowed. So he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the children of Israel say, where did he go? They think he's dead. And they say to Aaron, who is his brother, they say, we want you to make us a god to lead us into this land of Canaan. Their solution for a situation that they felt was wrong was to, let's do something we want to do. And they wanted Aaron to make them a idol. So Aaron has them get their golden earrings and their jewelry, and they put it all together, and Aaron's answer is that somehow this golden calf came out. I don't know how that happened. When Moses asked him, what happened? God wants to destroy Israel because of that. He is upset. While Moses is up on Mount Sinai getting the law, something that's going to help the children of Israel, you would think that that is a momentous occasion in the children of Israel time. They are starting. They know what God wants for their lives. They know. They will know from that point on what God needs for them to be his people. While that's going on, they create a golden calf, an idol, something to say that, God, you're not really that important to us. We don't believe you. God wants to destroy them. And he said to Moses, I'm going to destroy these people. I'm going to build a nation out of you and from your family, because I can't stand the fact that this is what happened. Moses talks him out of it. He says, please do not destroy them. If you're going to destroy them, remove my name from the book of life. That's how strongly Moses felt about the children of Israel and wanting to make sure that what happened, what God promised to them, would come true the way that God wanted it originally. But Moses comes down and he destroys this calf. He destroys this golden calf, and what he does is he smashes it up and puts it into water and makes the children of Israel drink it. He makes them drink their idol. He is upset, which is understandable. But then he says this. This is where we're going to focus. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. Now, you may wonder, why am I picking out this? What about this brings to mind intentional living? Moses drew a line in the sand. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? If we're on the Lord's side, if we're going to live a life as Christians, are you on the Lord's side? If you are, go to him. Do what he wants for you in your life. If you notice, the only people of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, 12, only one gathered around Moses. You know, I always wondered did every single person participate in the worship of that golden calf? Did every single Israelite say, I have no idea. The Levites may have participated, they may not have. I have no idea. What I do know is they made a decision when Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Even if they did worship that golden calf, they said, we are on the Lord's side now. When he drew a line in the sand, they said, we are going to follow God. Out of all 12 tribes, one said, I'm going to live intentionally for God. You know, Moses, because they made that decision, he had them destroy about 3,000 of their own people. That's how serious he was about worshiping God and being committed to him. Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so he may bestow a blessing upon you this day. The Levites then from that point became the priesthood tribe, the tribe that would be in service to God for the duration of the nation of Israel's existence. They were the tribe that was known for being in service of God. Now, did they always fulfill that perfectly? Not always. But that was what their role was. And they were given that special role, a special task of being God's, being in the Lord's service because of that decision. You know, with that decision, let's be honest, when those men made that decision to be on the Lord's side, they set an example for the rest of their children. Because not only did they become the people that were making that decision, but they forced the rest of their descendants to be in the service of their Lord. Now, I say that forced in a kind of a strong way, but think about it. Because of that decision, they have directed their life intentionally to follow after God. Because of their decision. Now, I saw this statement that I found kind of interesting. There are three different types of people in this world. Those who make things happen, those who watch while things happen, and those who just wonder what happened. I want you to think about that, though. Let's think about that. There are people in this world, if we're living intentionally, we're going to be like this. We're going to make things happen in our life. We're going to make decisions the right way. I've heard people make statements in the past, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know why my life turned out the way it turned out. Why do you not know? Can you not look back through the decisions that you've made and not know what went wrong? If you're living intentionally, you're going to know because you made that decision. And you know you made that decision the way you wanted to. The way God wanted you to. You know, there are people who see and watch things happen. People from the outside can see what's going on in your life. People can watch and see what happens in your life and be able to determine things about you. Now, am I saying that what they think should be the end all? Not at all. But you know, the decisions and intentional living that you portray in your life can affect others because they're watching and they watch what happens in your life. Now, if you're a person who goes through life unintentionally, goes through life, people are going to, what happened? What happened? You were such a good child. You were such a good person. What happened? You know, I was watching a show the other day, and it was on YouTube. It was I was bored at work. It happens. I was bored at work, got on YouTube, and I watched this video, and what it was a judge was sitting on her bench, and the person that came up before was a man who was in middle school with her 30 years later. And he had no idea who she was, but the second he walked up, she knew who he was. And she said his sentencing and went through everything. And at the end of it, as she's walking away, she says, excuse me, sir, did you go to such and such middle school? And the second he realized that she knew who he was, he broke down. He broke down in tears because she saw and she said, you are such a good kid. What happened? The decisions you make and not living intentionally matter to you, will matter in your life. If you live intentionally, you're not going to be in that position where somebody looks at you and says, what happened? Be the kind of person who makes things happen in your life, who makes decisions. One of those ways to do that is to listen to advice and accept instructions that you may gain wisdom in the future. You know, many times we have people, I'll be honest, when I was younger, and young age seems to be where all the foolishness happens. When you're kind of younger, you try to make decisions on your own, and you feel like you know everything. If you accept instruction from those who are older and those who have experienced things, you gain wisdom for the future. You're not Brother Ty at 50 something years old, I'm not going to say a specific age, at 50 something years old tells me to. These are things I need to focus on, things I need to worry about. If I don't listen to him when I'm 50 or older, I'm not going to know what to do. I have to figure it out myself. Yet if I listen to the instruction, I gain wisdom to how to handle things when I'm that age. But if I choose not to listen, that is me choosing to be unintentional about what I want to do in my life. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. If you work hard, so much effort is required to live a Christian life. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that in the most positive way I possibly can. It requires effort to be a Christian, especially in this world that we live in today. You have to be intentional. You have to decide. You have to make those decisions to live the way God wants you to live. If you choose to be a sluggard, a person who's just being lazy and just wants to do whatever they want to do, you're going to get nothing out of this world. You're not going to get anything out when this world ends. You're going to get nothing but pain and suffering in your life because you choose to do what you want to do and not what God chooses for you. But the soul of the diligent, the person who works hard, The person who strives to be the type of Christian will be richly supplied, not only in this world, but in the world to come. The decisions you make now will affect the decisions later on in your life, and what will at the end of time will be the end goal. That only happens by living intentionally. We're going to talk about three different things: intentional thinking, speech, and actions. First one, intentional thinking. That Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. The children of Israel made their decision. The 11 tribes made their decision. By the decision of the Levites, the other 11 defaulted into a decision. And that was of, "I don't care." At the very least, it's, "I don't care." Maybe it was a choice specifically to make and say, "I don't follow the Lord." But at the very least, it's a lack of intention. But the sons of Levi had to make a decision when that statement was made. They had to think in their mind, "What am I going to do? Am I going to choose to live the way the rest of the world, the rest of my people are living, or am I going to choose to be on the Lord's side?" Luke 14, verse 28 through 30, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete? This verse has been used a lot in the last few sermons, and it keeps coming up to me, and I keep getting the same thinking out of it. You know, I work in the construction industry. I work as a pre-construction manager. I do estimates. I do budgets. I set plans and schedules. That's what I do for a living. When I do that, I work for owners who spend nearly 2 years planning whether they even want to build this building. If a person decides to build something and then just starts the building, most of the time what happens is they go and say, "I didn't have enough money in that. I can't afford to build this." What happens when you live your life this way? When you live your life as a person who just makes a decision, you become that person who's like, "I can't believe I did this. What am I going to do?" But what if we live intentionally? What if we make a decision to think about the things we're going to do? What if we count the cost? What if we count the things it's going to take to be intentional? You have to decide in your mind to think a certain way. You can't just make decisions off the cuff. It starts with your thinking. You can't make decisions without thinking about it. So many decisions have been made that hurt people because they just decide something. Instead of counting and considering the cost, "I'm going to fall. Watch where I'm going." The thinking is probably the hardest, because you have to control your thoughts. You know, it's easy to not do something physically. You can make that decision a little bit easier than to not think something, or to choose to think a certain way. Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Do you intentionally choose to think about things that are beneficial to you as a Christian? Do you intentionally choose to think about things that will enrich your life? Or do you choose to think about things that realistically don't do any good to you? Or do you choose to do things and think about things that will be detrimental to your Christian walk? It matters. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Do you bring every thought that you have intentionally? Do you bring it into captivity and think about, "This is what I'm doing for Christ"? That is an intentional decision to live that way. It doesn't just happen. You have to choose to do it that way. I hope that we can choose to live with intentional thinking? What about our speech? You know, Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." There was a reason he asked that question. It was not just a flippant statement to make. He had a reason for making that statement to the children of Israel. Not only did they make decisions in the past right then that were hurting them, not only that, but Moses made them make a decision with his words. He intentionally said something to make these people think about what they were doing and choose what to do. Are you intentional as a Christian with the things you say? The things you say and the way you say things matter. It matters. You can't just say anything you want, just the first thing that comes to your mind. It's not good. Trust me, It matters what you say and how you say things. God doesn't want you to just be a person that says the first thing that comes to your mind. If I was to do that, there was a lot of things that would get me in a lot of trouble. And a lot of times it has gotten me in a lot of trouble because I chose to say something just because I felt like it. My anger got to me and I said what I wanted to. But as Christians, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be intentional with the way we speak. Let no corrupt communication, corrupt talking come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up and finding the occasion that and fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, when we speak in an unintentional way, and we just say whatever we want to, does it really, if you think about it, most of the time, does that give grace to the hearer? Or does it usually end up being a foot in your mouth? And you wish you hadn't have said that. Now, if you think about what you say and you really consider the person you're talking to and you say something that is beneficial or edifying to them, you can see them brighten up. You can see how it impacts their life. If you choose, think about the way you talk to them. As Christians, no corrupt communication, no corrupt talking should be coming out of our mouths, but only things that will build each other up, that will help each other get to the goal that we all want to get to. Because your speech also tells what's inside your heart. The way you talk tells people what you're really, what kind of person you really are. It's a window into your soul. It's a window into your mind. If you choose to speak in an unintentional way, if you choose to speak in a way that is flippant, it doesn't show a person who is trying out of the good to bring out the good treasure in their heart. A good person out of the good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of the evil brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. But for your words will, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Have you ever thought about how intense that statement is? Every word that you have said in your life, as flippant comment goes, as intentional as each statement is, you will be judged by those words. And by those words, you're going to be justified by what in what you did in your life, or you can be condemned simply by the words you use. It's powerful. And it should make us think twice about what we say and how we say things. It matters. What about our actions? You know, Moses ordained the children, those Levites, to the service of God. From that moment on, they were to spend their lives in service to God. That was an intentional move on Moses' part. And it then became an intentional decision that the Levites had to fulfill. You know, their life, from that point on, was under the microscope from all the people around them. Not only from all the people that were in the children of Israel, but also all the nations around them, because people would know they're the ones carrying the ark. They're the ones who are in the, they're the priests. They're the ones that are in the service of their God. If they chose to live the life they wanted to live, if they chose to live the way they wanted to do things, it was a reflection on God. It was a reflection on what God held sacred. Levites could choose to either be someone who glorified God or put God to shame with their actions. We as Christians live the same way. We are the same way. We are the exact same way. The way we live, the way we act, the things we do reflect God. We either glorify Him with our actions or we put Him to an open shame to the world around us. Are you intentional about your actions? Are you intentional about the way you do things? Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be careful about how you walk. Pay attention to the things you do, the places you go, how you treat your family, how you treat the people at work, how you treat the people at school. This thing, this idea of intentional living permeates every aspect of our life. There's no portion of our life that should not be affected by this intentional living thought. How you use your money. All of those things should be done intentionally with a purpose. Ty likes to say that statement. Now I can't say it. On purpose, with purpose. Thank you, Ty. Are you living life on purpose, with purpose? It matters. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, but he who called you holy is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If we're truly wanting to be Christians today, if we're truly want to be the type of people that God wants us to be, we're going to choose to be like Him. We're going to be intentional to be holy. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You know, if you choose to not be intentional, if you choose to live your life in a way that's not with purpose, this is what you get to look forward to. Someone looking to destroy your life. And that someone being Satan. That's all he cares about, is to destroy you. And he will use your own lack of intention to do that. He can destroy your life, but just with what you do. Imagine what he could do with putting somebody else in your life with you lacking intention. It matters. You know, the whole point that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, that you may teach. As Christians, that's why we're here. That's why we should want to live intentionally. Our purpose is to make a difference. It's to be a difference between unholy and holy, to show the world what it's like to follow Christ and what it's not like to follow Christ. And it's also to teach those around us. It matters because you are the watchman. You are the person who is in charge of your children. You're the person who is in charge of the people around you to get them where they need to be. It's not only about you as a person, it's about the people around you as well. Ezekiel is told here that if you do not preach, if you do not tell the children of Israel what's coming, what's in store for them, he's going to require the blood of the children of Israel by him. What happens to your children, what happens to your family, you should have an intention to know that it's going to be on me. It's going to be on my decisions. It's going to be what happens to them is going to be my fault. That's why it matters. The way of the wicked leads them astray. If we choose to live intentionally, unintentionally, we could lead people astray by our actions. And it may be unintentionally. But you will lead people astray if you choose to live your life in a manner that's not pleasing. If you choose to not be intentional, it matters. I hope that we can choose to live intentionally. I hope that we can choose to be the type of people that want to be intentional. Joshua 1 verse 8, he says, follow the law, follow God's ordinances. If you follow those things, you will prosper. If you do what God wants you to do, you will have success. Now, people ask, how do people, because you could look at people's lives and you could see the progression of the way their life has gone. You can be the one that's the judge, or you can be the one that's the prisoner. You can be the one that makes decisions that gets you to a place that people respect you and people can see that you are intentional about your life. Or you can choose to be the one that people say, what happened? What happened? Intentional living.